See, for some of you, you might be thinking that God is standing up there just waiting for you to mess up so he can get you. But he's really looking for an opportunity to bless you.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is God is Our Shield, and was recorded live at the Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
All right, let's please stand for the reading of God's Word. Today's message is, God is our shield. Proverbs 30, verse 5. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Heavenly Father, we come to you, O God. We pray, O God, that you will open up our hearts to receive your word, God. Root it into our heart. And God, please, let us apply it to our lives and to the lives of others as well. In your son's precious name, we pray, God. In Jesus' name, we pray. Thank you, God. Amen. You may be seated. God is our shield. Raise your hand if you have an enemy. I've asked this question before. Everybody's hand should come up because the enemy is Satan. So everybody's got him as an enemy. Okay? And what we fail to realize is that the enemy likes to work through other people. He can come as your friend. He can come as your sister, your brother, a loved one, an acquaintance. He can even come as a victim, someone you're trying to help. Yeah. You can invite the devil in your house and not even realize that he's coming into the form of a person because he's using that person as an instrument. But I'm here to tell you today that God is your shield. And that every word in the Bible is pure. Listen to this. Life is full of challenges, disappointments, hardships, and tragedies. Even so, Christians have an advantage because we have God the Father as our shield. Like anything else, we must utilize what we have in order to benefit from it. Today, we will talk about God and how he is our shield and how Christians can benefit from his word. One of the things that I want from this church is I want you guys to be victorious. That doesn't mean a bigger bank account. It means that inside, there are some changes that are taking place in your soul. You have a peace that surpasses all understanding because you are standing right with God and you are utilizing the word that he has given us. I can only preach to you once a week, and if you come on Wednesdays, I can teach you. But the rest of your life is up to you. Amen? You have to fill yourself up with this word, okay? So that you can take it out there to the world and proclaim it. First of all, God's word is pure. Proverbs 3:5, the beginning of this says, every word of God is pure. Every word. Now, I've heard people say that man wrote the Bible. It's true that the hand of man penned it, but God inspired it. I know that every Christian in here has had a moment that they have said or done something, and they knew that God must have been in their life at that moment when it happened, because God inspired them to do it. Amen? You were at the right place at the right time with the right person, right? And that was God's doing. He inspired that. It is easy to look around in the world today and find flaws, but the Word of God is pure. It is without defect. Isn't it easy to look around at your neighbors and point out what's wrong with them. All the while, you got a bunch of fingers pointing back at you. And sometimes because we see the flaws out there in the world, we want to start picking on God too. We want to say, well, this ain't working for me. Well, that doesn't cut it. We can trust God's word because it comes from Him. God is the source of His word, and God Himself is pure. You see, when somebody comes up and gives you advice and it's not from the Bible, you're getting tainted advice. You're getting advice from a person who is subject to the world, and the world is filled with sin. Amen? But when you get information from God, you're getting it from a pure heart. See, God is not out to get anybody. He's out to save everyone. But that doesn't mean everybody will be saved, because not everybody will take the advice that God is giving them or the gift of Jesus Christ. Now, before you can get the advice of God, you got to have Jesus in your heart, or you won't understand this book. You can read it and read it and read it. And yes, you can read it, but you won't get it into your heart because Jesus is not there. The Holy Ghost is what interprets the Word of God to us. So you need the purity of God in your heart to receive His pure Word. Amen? Listen to what 2 Timothy 3:16 says, and this is the expanded Bible I'm going to read out of here because this really nails it. All Scripture is inspired by God. And then in brackets it says, breathed out by God, or God breathed. He spoke this. And is useful for teaching, for showing people what is wrong in their lives. In brackets it says, refuting error and rebuking. For correcting faults and for teaching how to live right. And then the last part in brackets says, training in righteousness. Look how useful the Word of God is to us. Sometimes you have to say things to people that line up with the Word of God because they're involved in something that is not lined up with the Word of God. That's called rebuking. Some people don't like to be rebuked. Other people, they're glad that you told them, I was on the wrong path, and brother, sister, you corrected me. The Word of God is good for that. But you know what else it's good for? It's good for examining us. Because as we read the Bible, we shouldn't be thinking about what's wrong with everyone else. We should be thinking, does this apply to me? Is God talking to me right now? Now, if you want to know how miraculous this book is, I'm going to go over a few points that some of you may or may not have known. The Bible contains 66 books divided among the Old and the New Testament. The Bible was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by over 40 different authors from all walks of life. Now, if you were to read this from Genesis to Revelation, you would get the idea very quickly that only one person wrote it. It was God. So when you read this book from cover to cover, you will see that one person wrote it, even though over 40 different authors were involved. And they come from all walks of life. They were shepherds, farmers, tent makers, physicians, fishermen, priests, philosophers, and kings. Despite these differences in occupation and the span of years it took to write it, the Bible is an extremely cohesive and unified book. Unified. We should be unified as a church. And the only way we could be unified is if we're reading the unified Bible. Amen? Over 40 different people wrote this book. The Bible was written over a period of some 1,500 years. Maybe some of you thought it was written overnight. But it took time to write these things because what you're reading in the Bible is truth. It is a piece of history. See, when you read the trials and the tribulations and the struggles of the people that are involved in the Bible, you are actually reading about real people who really lived, who really died, who really suffered in between. You're reading about somebody's heart and soul in this book. Guess whose heart and soul this is? God's. This book describes how he deals with people, how he deals with you, how he deals with me, how he deals with humanity. Amen? 1,500 years in the making, over 40 authors from around 1450 BC, that was the time of Moses, to about 100 AD, that was after the death of Christ and the resurrection of our Lord. Can you imagine something taking that long to be written and yet still be unified into one book? Most of the people that wrote the Bible, that wrote books in the Bible, they didn't even know one another. Yet their writings line up with the entirety of the Bible. We can't even get a movie sequel that sounds or looks like the last movie, can we? The Bible was the first book ever printed on a press. The Bible has been translated into approximately 2,018 languages. Somebody wants to read this. The Bible remains to this day the number one selling book of all time. Nothing outsells the Bible. Never has. Never will. It is still the number one book purchased off the shelves today. No one has ever taken it from that number one slot. When God writes a book, and he only wrote one, it's a doozy. The number one selling book. Now see, that means people are reading it, right? They must know something that the people who are not reading it don't know. That there's some good stuff in here. Okay, so number two, God is our shield through faith. Listen, you could walk around with this Bible all day long and not do what it says, and you're not going to be shielded. It don't work that way. Okay? You got to read it. You got to apply it. But you have to believe it. Ephesians 6:16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The wicked one. You know the devil is shooting fiery darts at you all day long. He's accusing people to you. He's putting thoughts in your head that don't belong there. I don't want to give them all the credit. Sometimes we don't need the devil's help. But listen, if you want to tell the devil to shut up, you have to do what Jesus did. You have to break out the word of God. When Jesus was tested in the wilderness, he used the word of God to fend off the devil. Amen. Without faith, we will not trust in God, and therefore we will not obey his commands. This displeases God. For those of you who have children, and your children don't listen to you, and you know you're giving them sound advice, and they go off and they do exactly what you told them not to do, and they hurt themselves, it displeases you, doesn't it? First of all, you don't want your child hurt. But it also strikes you on the parenting level as to why don't they trust me? Why don't they believe me? Why don't they ever hear what I'm trying to say to them? I know that there's some mothers in here today and some fathers that have some children that are not listening to them. And I know that there's people in here with children that they're trying to steer away from something that's trying to hurt their child. And that child actually sees what it's doing to another person and how it's destroying the other person. But they're continuing anyways to do the thing that they're being told not to do. Oh, how much we are like that in ourselves. There are so many times when we know we're not supposed to do something and we're doing it anyways. And then we want to pass the buck and blame our circumstance or blame somebody else or just blame that we're having a bad day. Woe is me. Woe is me. There are no excuses for lack of faith. Listen to this. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible. impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So let's look at this scripture one more time. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. What does that tell you? It tells you that you could do all the good deeds that you want to do, but if you're not believing, then you're not going to be receiving. Because God is not pleased with the person who has no faith in him. It displeases him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Did you know that the number one reason why people sin when they know better is because they don't believe? See, you could know something and not believe it. Smokers, you know that smoking kills you, but you don't believe it's going to be you. It's the truth. You know smoking kills you, but you don't believe it's going to kill you. And if it does, it's going to take a lot longer than it did the other person that you know of that died from it. Because knowing and believing are two different things. So you can know that you're not supposed to do something, but a lot of people don't believe in who God really is. God is just. God is pure. God is righteous. And when you break his commandments and you walk out of alignment with his word, he's going to introduce himself to you all over again when it's time to pay the piper. But when we obey, he will also introduce himself to you all over again, because he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So before you're about to do that thing that you feel in your heart you shouldn't be doing, or before you refuse to do the thing that you know in your heart you should be doing, take a moment and ask God for direction and watch how he will direct you and watch how he will reward you for diligently seeking him. Many people claim they trust God, but they do not surrender to him, nor do they obey him. Listen to this. Luke 6:46. This is Jesus talking. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Jesus is asking, why do you call me Lord, and you're not doing what I'm telling you to do? If you call somebody Lord, you're calling them master. If you're calling them master, you're calling yourself the servant of that person. That means you do what they ask you to do. Now, when we serve God, we do it out of trust. We do it out of love. So when we say that Christ is our Lord, are we walking Christ-like? Are we lined up with him? Are we seeking out what he is seeking for our lives? Or do we just want to look good in front of people? We just want to say, I go to church, and I got a really nice Bible. And boy, you should hear me sing. I bring the house down to church when I sing. That doesn't impress God. He's glad that you're at church, and he's glad that you're worshiping. But if your heart's not lined up, it's not working. There's got to be a commitment. I was talking with somebody last week or so, and they told me that they had this addiction, and that this addiction was consuming them. And they knew more about this addiction and rehab than most people who administer it know. And they knew all about the addiction, and they knew all about the steps to get out of it. But they say to me, I don't know what it is. I just don't want to do it. And they look me right in the eye and they says, you know what, James? It's insane. I said, what's insane? And this person said that I know I'm killing myself. And I know what I'm doing is wrong. And I know how to get out of it. And I've got the opportunity to get out of it. And I got the tools to get out of it. But I don't want to stop. And they looked at me again and they said, it's insane. When you get to that point that something's consuming you, and you know it's consuming you, and you got the way out, and you got the tools, and you got the knowledge, and you even got God, that's a scary place to be. because you're not surrendering. See, God can help you with everything, but you've got to give him everything to help you with it. Ever see a child with a toy? Try to take it away from them because they're having trouble making it work, and you know how to make it work, but as soon as you reach for whatever they got, they pull it away from you. And you tell them, if you keep fiddling with that, you're going to break it. And they just like, ah. Parents, you've been there. And sometimes you can get it from them, and you can say, see? And you're the hero. But what happens when they don't surrender it and it breaks? They blame you, don't they? Moms, dads, don't you get blamed a lot for your children's mistakes? We do that with God. We make a mistake and we try to blame him for it. God cannot be a shield to those who do not obey him. I knew a Christian woman who committed a crime. She said God was going to save her from it. And I said, you did the crime, you got to do the time. And she did go to jail. She proclaimed she wasn't going to jail, but she's sitting there now for 12 years. She did not obey the word of God in what she did. She committed a crime and she went to jail. He cannot shield you in your disobedience. Your obedience is up to you. Unrepentance can lead to hardships in this life and condemnation in the next. If you're involved in something that is not lining up with the word of God, and you're wondering why you're not living a victorious life, if you're wondering why things bother you when they shouldn't be bothering you, when you are wondering why you haven't moved past a certain point in your life, when you're wondering why you haven't matured to a certain level, when you wonder why things just aren't working out to where they should be working out, at this stage in your life, you're another year older, but things still are not working out. Maybe you have not repented. See, it's easy to say, God, forgive me. But you have to have a turning in your heart and say to the Lord, I don't want to do the lifestyle I've been doing. I repent. That's called a change of direction. And if you think it's hard now for the unrepentant, just think about when the Lord returns and the dead will rise, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting condemnation. Listen to this. This is the expanded Bible again. It's Matthew 7, verses 22 and 23. Jesus says, on the last day, and in brackets, judgment day, that day, many people will say to me, Lord, Lord, we spoke for you. And then in brackets, it says, did we not prophesy in your name? And through you, we forced out demons. In brackets, it says, cast out demons in your name and did many miracles, mighty works in your name. Then I will tell them clearly. This is what Jesus says. Declare to them, in brackets it says, publicly announce to them, publicly announce, I never knew you. Get away or depart from me. You who do evil, break God's law, practice lawlessness. And Jesus is quoting from Psalms 6:8. People can actually be going to church, carrying their Bibles, singing in the choir, preaching. And Jesus could say, get away from me, I never knew you. You breaker of God's law, you never repented. If you want to belong to someone, you got to align yourself with someone. And Jesus is quoting from Psalm 6:8, which says, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Those who do not repent of their sin do not have God for their shield. If you're involved in sin, you're out there on your own. That's a scary place to be. However, Christians can trust in God to be their shield. He has only the best plans and thoughts for us. This is the beautiful thing about God. That thing that's in your life right now, everybody take a moment and think about that one thing that you wish would go away or just be fixed. Y'all know you got one. Think about it. Could it be that God has allowed it into your life so that you can work yourself through that problem, that situation with his help? So that you can learn something about yourself about other people, and most of all, about him. Perhaps that's why he allowed it. God has only the best plans for you. The fact that you're here today, this is a part of his plan. Jeremiah 29:11. If you don't know this verse, get to know it. Get to know this verse. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. See, for some of you, you might be thinking that God is standing up there just waiting for you to mess up so he can get you. But he's really looking for an opportunity to bless you. Amen? So listen, he says, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, right? I'm thinking good stuff towards you. I got some good stuff in line for you. Now, if you would just follow my plan that I have for your life, I'm going to lead you right into a blessing. Amen? Because I know that God has thoughts towards me that are of peace and not of evil, to give me a future and a hope. Amen? My enemies can't take away what God has given me. Nobody can take away what the Lord has given me. Only me through disobedience. Third, God is our shield because we have an enemy. I spoke about this in the intro, 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. This is serious because listen, the devil don't sleep like you and me. The devil has got a bullseye right on you, whether you believe it or not. And he is looking to get you. You got to be prepared. Christians have many enemies, such as the world, the flesh, and Satan. We need shielding from all three. What's the world do to you? Turn on TV and you'll find out what the world's doing to you. It's feeding you trash. Television is full of garbage. I got a block on my TV where my kid can't watch the stuff that's over PG-13. He's 15 years old. Some of the PG-13 stuff I have to watch to make sure. I care about the future of my son and what goes into his brain. I don't want junk in, because you put junk in, junk comes out. So the world is your enemy. The world is your child's enemy. Then there's the flesh. There's the things that you want. There's the things that you desire that you know that you shouldn't be having. You know there's certain things that are bad for you, but you still want it. You know there's certain bad things that you shouldn't say, but you still say them. So you got that as your enemy. But then there's Satan. And he likes to use all of the resources he has to come at you. He likes to cause division in the family. He likes to cause strife in the church. He likes to get people arguing. He likes to split people apart. What happens if I come up and I split you away from somebody who cares about you and I'm your enemy? What happens? I get you alone. When I got you alone and separated from the people that cared about you because I got them to turn on you, or I got you to turn on them, I can work on you because you're separated. You're vulnerable. Satan comes after us in all directions. There's nothing off limits to Satan. He's going to try every door. Give him a door, he's going to try it. Only God can shield us from all of the devil's attacks. Everything that's in your life that's going wrong today, look it up and see what God says about it. Okay? And then apply it to your life. Now, it's not going to happen overnight. Your problem didn't happen overnight. You might think it just came up overnight, and it might have just sprung up overnight. But you've been planting that seed a long time and watering it, right? You know, if you've ever planted a garden, you put the seeds out there, and you water it, and you water it, and you water it, right? Right? Nothing happens. One day you come out there and boom, there it is. There's things in our lives that we've been watering that are weeds. And we think, oh, nothing's coming out of the ground from this. I can keep watering it. I'm metaphorically speaking, of course. And then one day, boom. How'd this weed get in my garden? Man, I was sitting pretty in this garden. It was looking good. Man, now it's a mess. Talking about our lives. Our lives are our gardens. And they're other people's gardens, right? And when you start planting weeds in your life, and you come into contact with another person's life, your weeds can jump over the fence and your neighbor get them. That's why it's important that we talk about God to everybody we meet. Because listen, the person that I lead to Jesus might be the person that I don't get the weeds from. If your neighbor's house is on fire and he lives too close to you, your house is going to burn too. So how can you help your neighbor? You help him by the word of God. But first, you got to help yourself. When I say help yourself, I mean you got to surrender to God so he can help you. God shields us through his divine power. You know, God has got divine power. He can do things you can't do. God shields us through his divine power, loving care, his word. He shields us with his word and through other Christians. Listen, the devil don't want you coming to church. If he can get you out of church, he can affect your whole life. Listen, parents, if you're not coming to church, chances are your kid's not. So in conclusion, I want to say, although God is our shield, we must acknowledge him. If we don't acknowledge somebody, we're not talking to them. We're not spending time with them. We're just being selfish. We're being lazy. I'm not a perfect person. I never pretend to be, but I know someone who is perfect. And I know that that perfect person loves me for who I am. But listen, who I am is measured by what I do in obedience to him. Do you understand that? You can't just say, well, God loves me anyways. Well, he does. But Christian means to be Christ-like. Acknowledge him in your life and say, God, I know that I was made for something more than what's going on in my life right now. Because I was made in the likeness of you, God. So that means I need to be living like you. And once you acknowledge whose you are, you're Jesus's. You belong to Jesus. People can cut you down all they want. They can say whatever they want. But you know what? You belong to Jesus. You're his now. And if you are his, then you got the strength to walk like him. Because now God is your father. And we take after our daddies, don't we? We take after our parents. But if we're not watching what our parents are doing, we don't learn from their example. The Bible tells you how God deals with his children. He deals with them with love and compassion and blessings. And every person who's listening to this today, who is not taking my advice, you're going to go and you're going to leave here today and you're going to think to yourself, nothing's changed. But what you haven't realized is that it is you that has not changed. If that is what you're saying in your heart, that nothing's changed, maybe it's you that hasn't changed. Because I remember I would sit in the pews and I would hear the preacher man and I would say, well, I still got my problems. But then one day God said, James, it's you that needs to be changed, not your circumstances. You. You have to become the loving person. God's still working on me, but I've come a long ways by following him. I'm nothing like the person I was when he came to me at first. I'm nothing like that person. And 10, 15 years, I pray I'm not the same person I am today. I'm praying that I'm moving forward with God. I'm praying that I'm moving forward. And I'll tell you something about God. When you're moving forward with him, the people who are not moving with him, they're left behind. You're walking forward, and those people who weren't coming on the journey with God, they suddenly just dwindle away out of your life. They're gone. They can't keep up. They don't have Jesus. Jesus is going to take you some places that no man can go. Amen. And on the last day, He's coming back for us. I'm Jesus's. I want to be like the God who made me in his image. I don't care what my enemies say about me. I don't even care what I feel about myself. I know what God thinks of me. He has good thoughts towards me. He has a plan for me, not of evil, but to prosper me and to give me hope. And I want to find out more about this plan. And I'm going to start with myself. But before that, I'm starting with the man in the Bible. And last but not least, surrendering to Christ is the first step to being shielded by God the Father. Surrendering to Christ.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.